This. Yay.
Have you seen his Instagram?
They need
this Felger and Mass.
They don't use crank enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
Let's make some money and sing, everyone. It's Happy Walters. I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun's calling my name. I hear you now. I just can't stay inside all day. I gotta get out. Get me some of those rays. Everybody's smiling. Sunshine day. Everybody's laughing. Sunshine day. Everybody seems so happy today. It's a sunshine day. Woohoo! Let's make money, Paul. You looking for some representation? I know I'll wow those crafts with a little trick I do where I disappear a pencil up my nose and pull it up my ear. Woohoo! 6% of 52 million that I got from Marcus Smart. You know how many balloons and rubber chickens that buys? Woohoo! Woo! Let's talk football and donuts, Paul. Woohoo! Make that money.
Donuts. Another one.
Very good, Murray. Let's talk some football here in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Paul Perillo from Patriots Football Weekly, patriots.com, sunshine.com, thus the sunshine day. Hi, Paulie.
What's up, boys?
How do you feel about your football team right now?
That's all I have to say.
Okay, so just a fluky one-off play or...
Well, okay, let's say this. The play, yes, but
if you
the
had
game,
won the
no.
game, if you had won the game, do you come out of that one feeling good about your team? Take quality win. What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, no, I would not have been overly excited about the way they played. I think offensively they did some nice things. Defensively, another step back. And you know, even offensively, 6 points in the second half, it was a little disappointing. I think had they won the game, it probably would have.
They scored 6 points in the second half. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, things get sort of glossed over by one play.
They sure do.
And yeah, they should have won the game. There's no doubt. I mean, they could play the last play 100 times, and it wouldn't come out the way it did. Again, it was bad all around. We can talk. I'm sure you guys have talked about it to death with Gronkowski being out there and all the stuff that they did wrong. But excuse for allowing that play. But also no excuse for allowing the 29th ranked offense to put up over 400 yards and move the ball really successfully. I know a lot of people have pointed to the 1-for-7 on third down, which is a product of Miami never having to go to third down. I mean, they were scoring touchdowns without getting to third downs. It was a bad performance on that side of the ball and another just head-scratching loss in Miami.
Okay, so home road thing or?
Yeah, I think the home road thing is a big deal. You know, listen to Mike Lombardi a little bit talking about that. You know, a lot of times, you know, you judge these teams by how they play away from home, right? It hasn't been good. You look at all of the road games, you know, all seven of them so far, and you know, they could have lost a lot of them. I mean, not just the ones that they lost. They could have lost easily in Chicago. They were in a dogfight in Buffalo, in a dogfight against the Jets. I mean, those are the wins. You know, and there's not one game that you point to and say, well, that's when they played up to their capabilities. This is when they showed how good they can be. So I think all the excitement, and I know I was guilty of it a little bit too with the Minnesota game. I thought that was their most complete game. And then you see what Minnesota does the next week, and you're like, wow, they looked even worse against Seattle than they did against the Patriots. So was that Minnesota or was that the Patriots?
I mean, to me, the collective on the road's impossible to ignore. You just, that's where you got to put the stock in. So again, you can, as a fan, can overreact or not to the Miami game and do whatever you want. Take the 7 road games is basically a full season now. They've got one left, one road game left at Pittsburgh. That's it. And on the road schedule, they're 3-4. Mm-hmm. And 2 of the wins are Buffalo and the Jets. So what are we talking about? The fact of the matter is they played poorly on the road all year long. And that has meaning. Okay, now, does it mean it's that way forever?
No,
because if they were to come out and have some great game against Pittsburgh this week on the road, I would sit there and say, whoa, okay, maybe they got over some sort of hump. Because mm-hmm. I think a lot of it is psychological. Like, to me, it's about the mental toughness and the crowd's against you. And can you dig in and win that game on the road? And so I still think that, but the hurdle is still there. There's no two ways about that.
Okay, Paul, your thoughts on... Tom Brady, I want your thoughts on the quarterbacks this week, both. I want Roethlisberger thoughts, too. But Brady last week, how'd you view his day overall?
I thought Tom played well last week for the most part. It wasn't, as I said, it wasn't perfect. You know, the second half, the production dropped a little bit. And I don't know what happened on after that touchdown with Gronk, that he was sort of tended to a little bit by the medical staff. Jim Whalen went there, one of the trainers, and he talked about it being related to the knee brace. Something happened with the brace. But his numbers went off a cliff after that. Now, he started the game at a ridiculously high level. He was 10 for his first 10. I think he completed 17 of his last 33. So really average from that point on. And if you break it down even further to after whatever happened or didn't happen with the knee, it was even worse, even more pronounced after that fact. But overall, I thought the offense looked really, really good. I thought that they moved the ball well. I thought Gronk was able to take advantage of the way Miami was playing in terms of the zones, and that sort of feeds right into Brady's strength too. You can't play exclusively zone against Brady. I thought the offense looked a lot better in the passing game, and that was probably the best passing game from start to finish that they've had in a while.
But do you fear Brady's hurt?
No, not really. I think he looks fine to me. You know, a lot of people talked about after the Minnesota game, you know, how much was underneath, and I thought they pushed the ball downfield in this game a little bit. I thought the throw to Patterson was as good a touchdown, as good a play as they made all year. I thought that looked, I mean, it was a perfect throw, a great catch by Patterson. You see the physical skills that he has. You see why he teases teams, because he can make plays. He has a lot of physical ability. But I thought that was the best-looking play of the season. I was encouraged by what I saw in the passing game, but I just, like I said, you can't ignore the fact they only scored 6 points in the second half and weren't able to come away with a win. That's a big part of it.
Okay, Brady not hanging in there, you know.
You think that's because he's hurt?
Well, you know, I mean, just your thought. I mean, do you notice a pronounced trend there of him not standing in there against pressure?
I've seen that periodically over the last several years, though. And there's no – I know. I think you're probably talking about that last series of the first half.
Yeah, you got it.
And everybody wants to focus on the timeout and whether or not he screwed up there.
How about the play before?
The play before that to me was eye-opening. Chris Hogan was wide open, and he did – he turned. He turned away and missed a guy. He missed an opportunity there. And who knows? The game changes right then.
Okay, well, some people have been reading into a comment here from Belichick today. Belichick's asked about Ben Roethlisberger and Belichick's media availability. And I don't know, Jim, if you have it, this is what – or Jim,
I got it right here if you want to pull me up, Jim.
Yeah, Murray has it. So this is what Bill says about Ben Roethlisberger.
He's got great poise, great patience. He knows how long he can wait, and usually a lot of times he waits right till the bitter end. You know, that's the kind of thing he does. He hangs in there the last second and makes those throws, and he's tough. He's really tough. I have a ton of respect for him.
Unlike Tom.
Unlike my guy.
You guys are out of your minds. What? I mean,
that was at the clip at the end. What do you want, Paul?
Seriously, you guys are trying to intimate that he is saying, my guy used to do that, but he doesn't do that anymore? Well, is that what you're trying to do here?
Yep, that's what we're doing.
That's not beating around the bush.
That's really what we're getting at.
Yep.
The three of you are out of your minds. I mean,
did you see that bailout throw to Hogan? It looked like he was in Nashville all over again.
Again, I didn't say that Tom didn't bail out of that throw, but are you telling me that there's not a million examples of him hanging into the last possible second to deliver a pass?
Not like he used to.
In the first half, but not so much in the second half. And that's why Bill is saying today, I like Roethlisberger more than I like
you know what Bill is saying? I like red zone picks more. I like knocking Paul Perillo out of knockout pools. That's what he's saying.
You need the Steelers last week, eh?
Oh, yeah. You know, Roethlisberger, the guy who gets hurt 111 consecutive games, he gets hurt, but he doesn't miss a snap in any of them until Paul Perillo takes him in knockout. And he misses the whole second half.
Either way, Brady doesn't hang in there like he used to. That's all.
I mean, if that's what you guys are trying to say, I mean, I can't argue with you on that specific play to Hogan. I don't think that that is a huge trend for him. I think we periodically have seen that over the years, and I've also seen him standing in the middle of a blitz and fire bullets downfield for touchdowns.
I don't take the hits. I don't question his toughness, but just I want to go back to something.
I definitely do not question.
No, Brady's tough.
It's toughness. I mean, just you get older, you get a little gun shy, period.
Paul, you don't think he's hurt?
I don't think he's hurt any more so than normal. I mean, I'm sure he's not feeling great, 41 years old, and 13 games into the season. I'm sure he's got his bumps and bruises, but I don't think he's injured. Let's put it that way.
See, I think he is.
What do you think is wrong? The knee?
Yeah, that knee brace thing, I don't buy that. Oh, I do something with my knee brace? Really? How come you sucked the rest of the game? Didn't you fix the brace? It's not the brace, it's the knee. Like, I think there's something there, and I think that's why he's stepping out of throws.
I think part of the reason he's avoiding some contact is because he knows the next one could be the last one, meaning this year. Like, he's hurt, so I'm not going to take all those shots. And I think that's entirely possible. I mean, whatever the reason, you can't tell me that he's standing there and taking the contact like he used to. And maybe it's just human nature. You get to 41, and it's like, I'm not going to take all these shots. Especially, you know, if we're getting our ass kicked in Tennessee or something, I'm not going to get my head taken off. We're going to lose by 14, 17 points. What's the point of that? I mean, I can see that too, but I think it's definitely a condition. I am going to question Roethlisberger's toughness and this nonsense from last week. It's like, you're waiting for the X-ray? What?
Oh, you know, they couldn't find the X-ray room, too.
Couldn't find the X-ray room. The time it took for the X-ray to come back, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, they said it was antiquated equipment there.
Who cares? He was okay to play. If I'm the quarterback, I never come off the field. I look at the same way I look at Tannehill. Like, you're okay to walk 130 yards clear across the sideline to the locker room, but you're not okay to take a couple more snaps at the end of the second quarter, you Sally. And I say the same thing about Roethlisberger. You think Brady would have come out of that game waiting for the X-ray? He said, "Oh, I'm fine. I'm not fine. It hurts, but I'm not going. I'm coming. I'm going back in."
Well, I think what happened with Roethlisberger in this particular game is they gave him some sort of painkiller, and it took a little bit to take hold.
Yeah. So
no. But I'm just that's all. Like, I don't buy all this other stuff. There's so many different things that come out, and you know, they talk about transparency. This is the opposite of that. I think they've had a hard time keeping all this story straight, and they ended up looking like fools.
I see.
You know,
so,
with all this different stuff.
So they blamed the X-ray machine when it was really, they gave him a shot and it took him a little
that
bit.
That would be my guess.
But I still think...
That and the fact that I had him.
I think if... But I still, if that were Brady, he's not waiting for the medication to take hold. He's running back out on the field and sucking it up.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm trying to, you know, I guess maybe that's why I'm strongly disputing the whole toughness
thing.
Well,
see, I'm not saying he's not tough. I mean,
I know you're not. But that's why I have a hard time sitting there. Yeah, on that play, there's no question. He coiled, he turned away from the contact and threw the ball before he needed to because he saw the hit coming. I can't argue with that on that particular play. I just have seen him stand in and take that hit many, many, many times.
And he will play through things most everyone doesn't.
Right.
And I don't think that's changed one bit. He still doesn't come off the field. I just don't think he's willing to subject himself to the hits that he once did. And I think maybe that's probably common for older
quarterbacks.
Maybe
you're right. I mean, I just, you know, I have a lot of respect for what I've seen the guy do. And I know you guys do. Do also. I'm not trying to suggest that you're saying different.
Okay, very good. Calls with Paul Perillo, 617-779-0985, right after this.
Younger Naz, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The health and safety of some of these guys as we push into this week. Ben, obviously we got him evaluated when we got back. He has a rib or several rib contusions. That'll be addressed throughout the week. We anticipate him being available to us. Pain management through the week will probably be the storyline in terms of what he's able to do from a physical preparation standpoint. But again, Ben has played a lot of football. So, and we've been in this situation with him a lot. So we'll walk that tightrope and go into the stadium with no excuses there.
That's our guy, Mike Tomlin, and Ben Roethlisberger and his injury. You think Brady would have waited for the shot? He just would have stayed in there. I'm dubious of that. But Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, I also want to thank Tomlin for using his timeouts at the end of the game when Oakland was on offense.
It's not about your knockout pool.
Appreciate it.
Paul is bitter. This is more bitter than usual.
Oh, my wife had the whole downstairs bathroom done over. You have no idea.
Oh, but this Mike Tomlin. You ever hear Beetle and Zoe do Mike Tomlin?
I have it, but Jimmy was telling me about it when I was waiting to come in. I got to hear that.
Here's today.
We have not captured the opponent as of yet.
I'm going to sign blame, shoot a hostage, not going to do anything crazy.
He just used a medical.
Several rib contusions.
Has contusions of rib 6, 7, and 8, maybe possibly a piece of 9.
Yeah. The vertebral area 4.
His left side. Now, when I say left, I want you all to understand exactly where it
so
is.
So that was today. These guys do it all the time. You got another one there, Jimmy? What's the old one?
This one gets better.
I'm going to tell you everything about the injuries. I'm going to tell you he's got a left MCL sprain
of the third degree.
He's already had a scan. He's going to have another one tomorrow. He will not practice on Wednesday. I'll tell you right now, he's going to be questionable for the game, but he will play.
The evaluation of the third debacle, a metatarsal of the exterior of the hand.
Ben's got a sore elbow, but it should not keep him sidelined. Should be okay. Gonna get some ice on that.
Yep.
Trainers have already looked at it.
Well, ice
doctor
down.
Said he is fine.
The perspiration that was leaking, slipped.
If you're prepared to play our team next week, prepare to play him. I'm telling you 100% he will be there.
It's brilliant. It is. It is brilliant.
So, but this is why it's like...
Has contusions of ribs 6, 7, and 8, maybe possibly a piece of 9.
This guy's going to beat you this week. You know, the Pats are reeling on the road. I don't believe them overall as a team. I think the road thing is real. Pittsburgh's now playing for its life all of a sudden. I mean,
it's all about history, right?
I don't know.
Which history ends up coming through.
Well, is Tomlin all of a sudden going to figure out how to play Tom Brady? Because they haven't been able to do it once.
No.
They haven't figured it out once.
I mean, they did a pretty good job last year.
You think so?
For the most part. Yeah, I do. I mean, obviously...
They should have won the game.
They should have won the game, but Gronk came up huge in the last drive, and they went down and scored in the last drive. But, I mean, forgive me, I forget the final score of the game. But 27, right?
Yeah, 27-24, I mean, something like that.
That's not bad.
Yeah, no, you're right.
That's not bad for, to hold Tom Brady. And they got 227 on the last drive. You know, like if they're 20 points with 2 minutes left in the game, you did a pretty good job, right? Now, Tony's right. You know, the Steelers have only themselves to blame. That's what you're looking at. The Patriots dominate Pittsburgh. They've dominated, especially since Tomlin's taken over. They can't stop Brady. They can't stop Gronkowski. And meanwhile, Pittsburgh continues to find ways to lose games that they have absolutely no business losing. So which, you know, do both of those trends continue, or do you look at it this year and say, well, yeah, Pittsburgh is struggling, but the Patriots are struggling too. And Pittsburgh's at home. They're more desperate. Jim, I think your theory is that Pittsburgh being on a 3-game losing streak helps Pittsburgh.
I do. I think that they're going to be the more desperate team. I think this Patriots defense has continued to be wretched on the road. If the Steelers ended up pulling out that game against Oakland last week, I'd feel better about the Patriots' chances this weekend. Now, not so much.
They have to have it. I mean, Pittsburgh has to have it. Their playoff life is sort of hanging here.
Okay, your call, 617-779-0985. Two open lines if you want to grab them. Mike in Rhode Island, go ahead.
You know what? The Pats rushed the ball for 30 times for 77 yards against the, 30th-ranked run defense. You know what I mean? It was putrid. And then the Dolphins, they ran for basically 200 yards with a 35-year-old running back. And Pittsburgh's better than Miami. You know what? They got a better quarterback, and I think their defense is better.
Okay, is Pittsburgh's defense better than Miami?
Oh, by a lot.
Yes, yeah.
Especially with Howard out.
I mean, their offense is better, too, but it doesn't work that way. I mean, we all know it doesn't work that way.
They had the 29th-ranked defense, Miami. That's as bad as it gets. Basically, Miami only beats AFC East teams. They got there by winning their home games and beating up on the Bills and Jets. But Pittsburgh is definitely better talent-wise. But Tony's right. It doesn't work that way. What happens in this matchup? Maybe there's something about Miami that plays against what the Patriots try to do. But he started off with the whole running thing, and they didn't. They couldn't run the ball at all. But they didn't need to. They were well over 400 yards of offense. They had 33 points. That's more than enough to win. There was nothing wrong with offense on Sunday.
I mean, there are just so many inconsistencies now, and I'm sorry, Mike. But early in the year, they lose at Jacksonville. We say, well, they don't lose two in a row. Then they go to Detroit and get smacked in the face. So now I just, this game to me feels like two desperate teams, and it's going to be a bloodbath.
Snell in the truck. Hi, Snell.
Hey, I'll make it quick. Why don't we package up Brady and Gronk?
Okay, I'm going to let you go. We're not going to package Brady and Gronk, and we're not going to do it after the trade deadline, especially. Taylor in Vermont. Go ahead, Taylor. What do you got?
Yeah, I have a question. Are the Patriots still able to get the number one seed? I'll explain how I think.
No, I don't need you to explain.
Yes, they can still get the number one seed.
They need
the Chiefs to lose twice.
And they got to run the table.
Murray gave me a good one in the email. They could also miss the playoffs.
No, this was... This was just prototypical Jim Murray.
Oh,
this
okay.
I had flashbacks to when Jim hosted our pre- and post-game show, and you know, I used to have to take his shoelaces away from him after losses.
It's a remote possibility, but it is a possibility.
The fact that it's even still possible blew my mind. And Miami, then when I went, and
here it is.
Go ahead.
If Miami wins out, okay, which is at Minnesota, Jacksonville, Buffalo. If the Titans win out, which is the Giants, Redskins, Indy. The Chargers only need to go 1-2 or better. And if the Pats go 1-2 or worse, you're out.
Oh, that's all. And the Patriots would need to go 1-2, which would include a loss against at least one
of the Buffalo Bills or the Jets.
I wouldn't rule it out, Murray.
I would rule Buffalo out.
Who they struggled with in Buffalo for the better part of three quarters. Who did they start at quarterback that day? Was it Derek Anderson or some stiff that they got off the trash heap?
Derek Anderson.
They didn't face Josh Allen, who has some wheels.
For more than he throws for.
Yeah, well, with the lack of speed at linebacker for this group and their inability to get any kind of pass rush, who knows? Crazier things have happened.
And you know what the most remote thing out of all those things? Miami running the table.
No, I don't know. Maybe they get some momentum with this crazy win that they just had over the Pats.
They're going to lose Sunday, Minnesota.
Here's Jerry in the car. Just so you know, it's a possibility. That's all Murray wants you to know. Jerry in the car. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, we've talked about Brady in the past wearing down, but I think it could be worse with an aging Belichick. Maybe your guest can provide some insight as to why his preparation on especially away games is so poor.
Okay, how much of this is on Belichick, meaning the road problems, meaning Sunday's loss?
Okay, well, here's what I would say about the preparation on Sunday. How'd the first drive look?
Pretty good.
How'd the second drive look? I mean, scored like on defense. Scored touchdowns the first four out of five times they got the ball.
And on defense, they allowed touchdowns.
The defense isn't good. I mean, the defense is not good.
But didn't you feel differently after the Minnesota game?
Yeah, and didn't you feel differently a few weeks ago after, like, the Green Bay game? Like, they've had good games against bad offenses occasionally. And more often than not, they struggle. Like, it's 13 games. Like, you said it, I think, well, Tony, when you talked. After that Jacksonville game, everybody looked and said, well, that was a really bad game, but they don't lose two in a row. And then they lost two in a row. It's like we keep waiting for it to change because the Patriots never play this inconsistently for a whole year. But now we're looking at 13 games. Yeah, they played well against Minnesota, and I was buying it. I was sitting right here last week telling you guys that was the most complete game of the season. So I was wrong. I still think that was the most complete game, but I thought that meant something going forward, and it didn't.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
7 seconds left. Tannehill will throw it, and this will end it after the shovel. Or will it? Miami running around, circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle. Touchdown! Oh, Kenyon Drake! A miracle! Miraculous in Miami! Stills to Parker to Drake. A lateral heard round the world.
Drake, and from 50 yards away, he's going to run through the entire Patriot defense. And you're right, look at Gronkowski stumble. He was the safety.
Sorry, Paul. 3 days later, any thoughts?
It just happened to be running at the same time that we're playing the clip. It's running on NFL Network, and it's still just, and this was my thought initially when I saw it, when we were doing the post game. I understand that they threw a pass in lateral twice, so I understand the miracle part of it. It astounds me how seemingly easy it was to execute. Kyle Van Noy got a hand on him. He kind of stepped through his tackle around the 40 or so. And otherwise was never touched. You know, a lot of times those lateral plays, one of the guys that laterals is like sort of fighting through a tackle and barely off the ground. He flips it in desperation. Yeah. This was guys catching it, looking, seeing who, okay, there's the guy I'm supposed to have lateral to. Here it is. And then the next guy gets it and says, well, I'm not fast enough. Where's Kenyon? There he is with no duress. I am stunned with, again, I understand it was a miracle play, a one in a million. But when you watch it, it wasn't that hard to execute. Miami made it look easy.
Does it start with Gronkowski as that last line of defense?
I don't understand why he was out there. I still haven't gotten a reasonable, a rational explanation for that. And even if he is out there, when I'm putting, we were joking about this, when I'm putting together a team and saying, okay, here's my Hail Mary team, whatever it is, my desperation prevent one. If Devin McCourty is not the first guy that I would pick for that team, he's in the top three. He's the safety on the kickoff team. He's prevented touchdowns on kickoffs even this season.
Yep.
I've said to you guys many times, I've said to you guys, he may not be as quick as he once was, but he remains straight line speed as fast as ever. The guy can fly.
He really can, though.
He's a great open tackler. He would be one of the first guys. I wonder if there was just a mistake, not just a coaching mistake, but maybe a mistake in the way the personnel was out there.
He was supposed to be out there. And he
wasn't. I don't understand it. And a lot of people have pointed back that the Hail Mary that they almost allowed in Chicago. Well, they did allow it.
He saved the tackle.
Him and his brother were the two people that kept the receiver. I think it was White, right? That caught that pass. But in Chicago, think about it. Imagine they could have lost twice on plays like that. They could have been in overtime that day.
So the All-22 is now up. I actually put it on our Facebook page this morning. I went back and watched it this morning. It's still astounding. We were just watching here a second ago. I still can't believe it. I look at it and go, it's unbelievable. For that to happen, and I do agree that there's a fluky element to it. There's no question about it.
Everything worked perfectly.
But for that to happen, you have to have breakdowns literally from a minimum of 7 of the 11 players on defense. Maybe more. Like, you throw out the three linemen because their job is to sort of get after the quarterback and try to rush the throw. But of the remaining 8, you have to have breakdowns from pretty much all of them to allow the play the way that they allowed it. And you made this point the other day, and I watch it again. It starts with Jonathan Jones, who on the first pass from Tannehill to, that was Stills, right?
Stills, yeah.
From went to break up the pass. What are you doing? Let him catch the ball and tackle him. It was like that jackass last year in Minnesota, in New Orleans, for New Orleans against Minnesota, who put his head down and let Stephon Diggs run down the sideline. What the hell are you doing? Let him catch the ball and then tackle him. Game over. Like, it blew me away. Patrick Chung didn't cover himself in glory on the play. Gronk stumbled all over himself, but I don't hold that against him. Harmon's on the other side of the field playing safety and was way too late to react to it, as was Gilmore. Like, you go right down the line, they all waited for someone else to make the play. It's unbelievable that happened the way it did.
Okay. You want to weigh in on that? You can still, 3 days later, everyone's still talking about it.
I'm still pissed about it.
Yep, I can tell. Otherwise, everyone, back to your phones here with Paul Perillo. Mike and Revere. Go ahead, Mike.
Yes. How you doing, guys? I just want to break it down for all you non-Patriot believers. The first 4 games of the year, we had no Edelman. So we went 1-2. Gronk goes out. Burkhead goes out. We got Michelle out. You got a wide receiver playing running back. And if that freak play didn't happen Sunday, we go 9-1.
Okay,
right? So we go 9-1.
So now you have him at 9-1.
Brady, on the other thing, on Brady, at that halftime thing, when he sees the pressure, he's trained to go down. When he sees the pressure, he stands and delivers. But what happened on that play, he had pressure in the back. He knew it was there. If he cocked his hand, it would have been a strip.
Okay, Mike. Otherwise, he just let the half run out. So what's the point? Might as well get a strip sack there.
Ball should have been out before then.
But it's the same difference.
How can he explain away the performance in Tennessee?
I was going to say, does this feel like a 9-1 team?
No.
I mean, he hasn't been 9-1.
And I just think that it's very easy to sit there and say that Sunday's game should have been a win, right? You add that, and I totally agree. But when you do that, you have to then look at games that are, 10-10 in the fourth quarter while the other team driving and fumble on the 20-yard line. As a game that there could have been a loss. But we don't do that.
We've got Jim and Beverly. Hi, Jim.
We don't do that.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Paul. Curious your thoughts on Josh Gordon. I think he gets better week by week. And I think he's going to come up huge in the playoffs. And the same with Patterson. These two are so down on Patterson. It isn't even funny. I think Patterson's contributing week after week. And he's another one I think is going to be good in the playoffs. What do you think?
Okay. Can I jump in?
Don't leave me out. These three. He said these two were down on Patterson. I think he stinks too.
Gordon, yes.
Well, there's two. Yeah, to me, there's two very different
Patterson's
situations.
He's made one play.
Yeah, I mean, I think Patterson has been. I think he's done a nice job of contributing here and there. And Sunday was an example. He's asked to make a play or two a game, and I think he's done a nice job of maximizing his opportunities. I don't think he's capable of any more than what he's done. I think you've gotten a lot out of Patterson in that little niche. You know, whether it's been as a running back or like Sunday, Gordon. I would totally agree. I think he is a huge part of the offense at this point. I think he is getting better every week, and I think he's. People that point to the lack of Edelman in the first four games, the much, much bigger element is the lack of Gordon, and they didn't have him. They traded for him, and you know, I think they traded for him after the second game, but he didn't play until the fourth game. And you know, you look at him now and the different element that he provides, I think he's been really good.
Coming up next, we'll get to your more of your Patriots calls and Murray.
Oh, you got those dead tickets, Felger.
Dead tickets.
Yeah.
Dead and Company freebies. Freebies for you. Murray keeps trying. I don't think he's allowed to win. Station employees are not eligible, but keep trying, Murray.
You ever really listen to the lyrics in Ripple? What a beautiful song. Ripple in still water when there is no pebble tossed. Think about that. The water ripples. No one even threw a pebble. It's beautiful.
Your chance to win free Dead and Company tickets next.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
If you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mattis, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Again, like, you know, kid, like, I mean, whatever, I'll find some balloons, I'll get into it, I'll dance. I just like the party. I'm not much into their music. I'm getting a little loose now. Oh, it's kicking in.
Turn it up, Jim.
Yeah.
Definitely balloons.
Oh, I do know this one. Yeah. Now it's going to go on for 17 minutes.
All right, your dead ticket's coming up in a few minutes, sir.
I got to get a root canal anyway, so I'll have the balloons.
Sit tight. Maz and Murray are going to go do a whippet and come back and bid on the tickets. As promised, going to wrap it up with some phone calls for you here with Paul Perillo. We're here until 6, so we got another hour to do this, but Paul's here for just another 8. Paul, Brian and Quincy on the Pats. Go ahead, Brian.
Hi, guys. Thanks. Basically, the big thing, I'm not here to necessarily defend the Pats on the road, but, I mean, if you look at the Steelers this year in terms of what they've done, you know, I guess my question is, what is it about this year's Steelers team that makes you feel confident that this is the one that's going to buck that trend? Every big game they've had at home this year, whether it was the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Ravens, they've lost. And then Sunday, as you guys alluded to, you know, they're fighting for their division in the playoff spot. They can't stop the 2-10 Derek Carr Raiders going down the field and winning the game, as Tomlin doesn't even recognize to use his timeouts, only electing to use the second one before a fourth down play where they still had miscommunication on the coverage and gave up an easy touchdown.
So let me answer you. I don't have any faith in the Steelers. It's not about the Steelers.
Nope.
It's about you.
No. If they were playing another team that was good, if they were playing, the Patriots were playing on the road against, say, I don't know, the Saints or, you know, even the Rams, I wouldn't feel very good at all about the Patriots' chances. But what gives me hope, it's the Steelers.
Why are you shaking your head, Miss?
Because it's the oldest trick in the book. You know, yeah, what makes you think the I'm not talking about the Steelers. I'm talking about the Patriots. So it's like, oh, I get it. You don't want to talk about your own problems. You just want to talk about Pittsburgh's.
Right. That's so I'm guilty.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm definitely guilty of it. I recognize the hypocrisy of what I'm doing.
Yeah. I'll tell you right now, I don't know if Pittsburgh's going to win this game on Sunday. I didn't tell you that. I haven't told you one way or the other who I think is going to win. All I've told you is all year long the Patriots have played bad on the road. So why should all of a sudden in the eighth road game of the year should I think that they're going to find the magic formula?
Justin in Shrewsbury with a thought on Pittsburgh. Hi, Justin.
Hi. So the past couple of years, the Patriots have like taken care of the Steelers, and they've had Le'Veon Bell as their running back. This year, obviously, that's not the case. They have James Conner, who was pretty good at the beginning of the year. With a lot of attention
pretty
being
good
on
all year players, until last week when he didn't play.
With a lot of attention being on like Juju Smith, Schuster, and Antonio Brown, how much of a factor do you think he's going to have this week against the Pats?
Okay, well, I mean, I'll just jump in and say that if Brandon Bolden can run the ball on you,
yeah,
then I James Conner or whoever's behind him can run the ball on
you. Yeah, Conner's health, I think, is a huge part of this game. He's evidently going to be a game-time decision, and if he can't play, I think that's a big, big break for the Patriots because you're right. They've allowed teams to run the ball periodically all season long, and people forget 2 weeks ago it was the same thing with Minnesota. Dalvin Cook averaged almost over eight yards a carry in that game, and they just got away from him. Miami stuck with it enough. 21 carries, 189 yards. That's obscene.
Yards a pop.
9 yards a carry on 21 carries.
Frank Gore needed a cane to get through the holes, and he got 9 yards a carry.
Yeah, it's a concern, and if Pittsburgh's able to do both. See, what the Patriots generally do is make you just do one thing. And I think that was part of the problem last week is Miami could do both. And Pittsburgh can do both a lot better than Miami can if Connor's healthy. If he's not, you know, then they're playing the tight ends. Jalen Samuels at running back. That's not going to work.
Do you know the Patriots rank in rushes per attempt? I mean, on defense?
No, I don't.
27th.
Yeah, so it's not like a one-week thing.
No.
You know, they've had problems all year.
4.9 yards a rush.
Here's our buddy Guy in Boston. What do you got for us today, Guy?
Hey, Mike, I got to tell Mr. Perillo first. Doesn't he see the same defense that sucked at the Super Bowl? And as far as the McCourties, they would suck if they were triplets.
Is that your guy?
That's our guy.
He's supposed to say thank you, right? At the end.
I think he might cut him off. No, I think he dropped. I know you're right. He was supposed to say thank you.
Oh, I love that guy.
Maybe the best line that's ever been uttered on these.
The Patriots defense has not been strong. I have no argument for that.
Mother McCourty's the only one on the planet who's not happy with that line.
And as far as the McCourty's, they would suck if they were triplets.
That is awesome. Dave and Wellesley. Go ahead, Dave.
So it's a known fact that Pittsburgh's like the biggest fraud team ever, right? And they're coached by an idiot who's just an absolute moron with one brain cell. So I'm looking forward to Kansas City. Sorry, okay, but I am. And I have 2 points on KC. A, and Mike, you said this, I don't see them. I see a possibility of them losing the divisional round.
You bet.
They're coached by another idiot, fat slob Andy Reid.
He's not an idiot.
He's limited at the end of games.
That.
He is, Paul.
He has problems with time management, but he's a good coach.
No, he's a fat moron. Okay. He cares about how his steak is cooked, not how to run the time.
Okay.
And my second point, hey, be quiet, Mr. Kraft Sports Productions, okay? My second point is, KC.
You are so right about these guys, Tony. Like, forget about the Patriots. All the other teams will screw up. And we'll win. Like that's a great way to go about life. Like hope the other team sucks more than you do.
Oh yeah, no. And this is typically what annoys me too. And now people playing out like different playoff permutations already. Like this is what loser Cowboy fans do. Just worry about what's going on.
If
with
everything
the Patriots.
Breaks our way, we can win.
Dave, you can just finish up your call quickly.
I think Casey's a fraud too. So that's my point. And Kraft Sports Productions. I didn't mean to get you all horny there. Okay, I'm sorry.
That's where I work. I have no problem with that. I'm not ashamed of that. What else you got,
Casey? Well, but you agree with the outside of the bitchy Patriot fan thing. You do agree that the whole AFC. It's hard to believe in any of those teams for various reasons.
Absolutely. But who do you believe in more?
So
is what I'm asking.
To me,
based on what's happened in 13 games, do you believe more in Kansas City or the Patriots?
Kansas City, as long as they're in their building, yeah.
That's all I'm saying. You know, I don't know what's going to happen in the playoffs. They might Kansas City could choke. Andy Reid could lose track of the time. He's done it many times. He's a good coach. Now, he's flawed. He's not perfect. How did your coach, who's great, do with the game on the line last week?
Mm.
Like, everybody makes mistakes. This is what I'm trying to say. Like, if you go by history, we shouldn't even bother talking about these games. The Patriots will win. The Patriots have been the best team in football for 20 years. And in every big game, the Patriots win. But this year's been a little bit different, right? And if we knew the Patriots were going to win, why would we even bother playing the games?
I mean, the venue this year is really important.
No question.
It's really important.
And I'm not dismissing the Patriots' chances. If the Patriots are playing in an important game, I'm going to give Belichick and Brady a lot of edges.
Do you have a strong feeling on this week?
I don't have a strong feeling because, like I said, I'm sort of fighting the history. I don't believe in... A couple of callers ago, they rattled off Pittsburgh. Kansas City, the Chargers, and there was another home game, Baltimore. Three, you know, fairly competent opponents at home all went in there and beat them. I think the Patriots can do the same thing. But, you know, am I going to be shocked if Pittsburgh marches the ball up and down the field and the Patriots lose? No. That's what's happened to him on the road.
I got a prediction for you for Sunday.
I love it. Let's save it till after.
Before me or before
somebody is going to blow it. I don't know which side.
Is it that kind of game?
Yep. Somebody's going to blow it.
See, I think either the Patriots win a close game or get blown out. Right now, I'm going to pick the Patriots to win a close game.
Okay, there you go, Kraft Sports Productions.
31-27, in case you were wondering.
Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
All right.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.